You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
LaVine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. 10 a.m. Eastern at 9 a.m. Central Time. That's Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure you're following the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. A bunch of new college shows have just dropped in the last several weeks. Go check them out. The MLB playoff race is getting set to start in just a few weeks here, coming down to the end. So check out those shows as well. Our friends over at Locked On Cubs and also over at Locked On Bears, check them out on Facebook and Twitter. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Hit us up with all your questions, your voicemails, whether you're a first-time caller or you're one of our regulars. Drop us a line if you've caught any reaction to this Jimmy Butler stuff, which I think is going to be the bulk of our conversation today. It's wild, and there's new information coming out seemingly every hour. So we want your reaction. A year, 15 months away from that trade last year where we sent Jimmy Butler to Minnesota. How are you feeling now? So drop us a line, 331-979-1369. Matt, it's great to have you back. Gotten to a couple Twitter scuffles over the last couple of days, trying to convince fans that it's a little bit more difficult to make the playoffs with a bad defensive team than it is to just overshadow that with offense. But nonetheless, good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. What's up, Bulls Nation? Glad to be back. Appreciate you holding down the fort. I mentioned on Twitter last night when I got back in town, I was in Cleveland for a few days. One of my best friends, his father passed away after a long battle with cancer. So it was a tough start to the week, it was a great celebration of life out there in Cleveland. And I'm happy to be back, man. And again, I appreciate you holding down the fort. And I appreciate those of our listeners who commented and sent their well wishes to me when I made that information known on Twitter last night. So moving forward, yeah, we got to talk about this Jimmy Butler stuff, man. It's like my phone was blowing up. I was doing the polite thing, of course. I was trying to just, you know, keep my phone in my pocket, silence, even put it on you know, airplane mode for a large part of my sojourn out to Cleveland to deal with the passing of a dear friend. And like as every once in a while, I would check my phone, and it was just like more Jimmy Butler stuff. And it was tweets from Shams and tweets from Woj. All of a sudden, I was like, oh, wow, these rumors that were starting in the early parts of this offseason, early in summer, about unrest in Minnesota, and even like Chicago's own Joe Cowley put something out really early that was like, oh yeah, Jimmy and his teammates in Minnesota aren't getting along, and we all thought, whatever, this is probably just noise. Well, fast forward to the end of the summer, and here we are. This is crazy.
Joe Cowley, just speaking of him, he's been right about a couple things now. like, as much crap as he gets, man, he's been right. He's been on the nose, like, a couple months ahead of a lot of these stories. Like you said, the Jimmy Butler news about him and his teammates in Minnesota not really getting along. The fact that Jimmy said that they tried to pitch the idea of bringing Kyrie Irving here a couple years ago in that offseason. Like, Cowley's been right about a couple things now, especially when it's come to big NBA stars and people that have laughed at him or scoffed at him, at his reports. He's turning out to be true, but there's a lot to unpack here. First, yesterday I went through just simply stating the fact that I think we can all be in agreement now, and maybe it's a little unfair to do this, but for all the shit that the Bulls got from Timberwolves fans last season when we made the trade, said that we got fleeced, all of this stuff, I said, who got the last laugh now? Who is getting the last laugh now? Because it's clear now Jimmy Butler wants out. And I wouldn't be surprised if, I'd be surprised if he's gone by game one. But now the kind of turmoil that we're hearing between him and Karl Anthony Towns, like, that situation isn't good. We can get into that in a minute. But Jimmy's ultimately said he wants to go to three teams, the Clippers, the Knicks, or the Nets. If you're Tom Thibodeau, what are you doing at this point when Jimmy, clearly your star, the guy you brought in and traded a lot of assets for, says he wants out? And now all these teams know that he wants out and he's going to be a free agent in less than a year. What do you do? As Tom Thibodeau, what do you do?
I'm not sure there's much that Tibbs can do. And I think that this is one of the reasons that I was in favor of the Jimmy trade when it happened a little over a year ago, and that I still, looking back, am even more convinced now that it was the right move to make. Who thought that Jimmy was going to be content to stay in Minneapolis? We saw over the last couple of years of his tenure in Chicago that Jimmy was turning into the Hollywood as hell kind of NBA player that his former teammate Joakim Noah despised. So it's no shock to me that Jimmy Butler put on his list of teams that he wants to play for a Los Angeles team and two New York teams. It's, you know, it's Hollywood West Coast and it's Hollywood East Coast. And that's where Jimmy wants to be, because Jimmy is a big shining star and he wants to be the guy. I think it's interesting that he would prefer to go to L.A. and play for the Clippers, as opposed to a lot of people talking about, well, he probably wants to go to L.A. and play with LeBron. No, he doesn't want to play with LeBron. He wants to be the guy. And the Clippers are one of a few teams that would have the money to sign him and his pal Kyrie Irving to huge deals. And, you know, there's one young star in New York already in Chris Stapps, but Jimmy could certainly be the guy if he went there. He could be the guy if he went to Brooklyn. And to me, it's just not surprising at all that Jimmy has no interest in signing a long-term deal to be in Minneapolis. And it's not so much about the basketball to me. Jimmy says, yeah, you know, the thing I want most is to win a championship. Okay, I'm still firm in the belief that Jimmy Butler can't be the best player on a team that is contending for a championship. To me, I think it's also a lot about the spotlight. And Jimmy wants to be the guy on a big market team. And none of that sounds like the Minnesota Timberwolves to me.
The weird thing is Jimmy, like, he put a side story into this to say that he's got kind of a cop-out to Timberwolves fans, and they're already exploding on him. But the one thing I found interesting was there was a report from the Athletic that said Butler wanted to renegotiate an extension this summer, but the Wolves wouldn't do it and offered the regular max extension. Well, Jimmy did this because he knew it was clear that the Timberwolves couldn't pay him without unloading basically all of their cap to do that. And for the Timberwolves, you're not going to sacrifice your future and the fact that you got to pay Karl Anthony Towns in a year to basically a max extension, which what we're expecting. Jimmy Butler basically tried to do this and say, well, I did try to renegotiate and stay in Minneapolis, and it was basically for a deal that was never going to get done. And now he's flipping it and saying, okay, now I want to be traded. I want out of here. I think there's multiple factors to this. Not only the fact that he doesn't want to stay in a small market with the Timberwolves, but the fact, too, that it seems like him and his teammates don't get along. And we've got some pretty good evidence now that his relationship with Karl Anthony Towns might be stemming from the fact that Jimmy was trying to get with his girlfriend.
Yeah, I saw.
Did you see
this? I did. I saw that this morning. There's some social media evidence to support this theory that Jimmy either hooked up with or at least tried to hook up with Karl Anthony Towns' girlfriend, which is now believed to be his ex-girlfriend, who wiped any and all evidence of her relationship with Karl Anthony Towns off of her Instagram page. Karl Anthony Towns hasn't posted anything on Twitter or Instagram in the last several weeks with, you know, his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend or whoever this person is to him now. And that there are people, there were tweets, you know, going around in subreddits on Minnesota Timberwolves fan pages that people have heard from within the organization that at some point back in May, there was some kind of thing that happened where Jimmy made a move on Kat's girlfriend and potentially even hooked up with her. And if that has any truth to it, and again, like, we have no way of knowing whether or not that's true. This is just a rumor.
Yeah, this is all just alleged.
This is just alleged rumor stuff that's going around, like, the darkest corners of NBA social media. But if it's true, or even any element of it is true, that makes a whole lot more sense for the Jimmy requesting to leave and the supposed poor relationship between Butler and Towns outside of, well, he just doesn't think that the young guys, Towns and Wiggins, have a whole lot of work ethic and, he, you know, Jimmy doesn't respect their level of respect for the game, et cetera, et cetera. That sounded like a hard-nosed Jimmy, you better, you know, work your butt off all day, every day kind of personality trait. But come on, is that really enough to ruin a relationship? No. Guys getting into a dispute over being, you know, involved with the same girl? Yeah, that has a lot more credibility as far as reasons for a friendship, a relationship, personal and professional, between two guys to fall apart.
But your young center in Karl Anthony Towns seems like he's not having a whole lot of fun in Minnesota. And then you got Andrew Wiggins getting into a fight with Steven Jackson,
yeah,
going back and forth on Instagram and going back and forth on Twitter. Like, this is a destruction.
And, not to mention the actual real, you know, not just gossip and who's hooking up with who and who's going at who on Twitter news, but the guy that they drafted instead of Lauri Markkanen with that draft pick swap with the Bulls, Justin Patton, just re-broke his foot. Like, they had to deal with that on top of all of this awful PR in the span of a few days. Like, it is bad to be a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, and it is bad to be Tom Thibodeau right now.
This reminds me of a situation that happened with Tony Parker, right? This is like kind of that situation with him and, was it Rick Barry, where Tony Parker slept with Rick Barry's either fiance or his ex-wife, and that kind of created a destruction in the San Antonio Spurs locker room. Like, to me, that's what it's going to look like now. Like, this evidence from Karl Anthony Towns, whether it's true or not, this is going to linger, but it's more so going to come down to the fact that not only did they not get along early on with in the Timberwolves, and Jimmy and Karl Anthony Towns kind of had this power struggle, but add that to the fact that Jimmy wants to be Hollywood Jimmy, add that to the fact that Minnesota is in a West that is, let's be honest, pretty difficult with even with the team the Minnesota Timberwolves have now, and the additions that Tom Thibodeau made this offseason, not that great. Some could borderline it at really bad. All of that has to come down to an answer that Jimmy Butler is going to get traded and Tom Thibodeau might be out. Like, there's comments that are saying Tom Thibodeau would rather just quit both jobs than have to rebuild and trade Jimmy Butler. And if you're down to a situation and you're the rest of the Minnesota Timberwolves front office, like, they've got to be looking at this too and saying, okay, now we've got to completely revamp. If Tom's not willing to trade Jimmy Butler and rebuild, and Jimmy doesn't want to be here in Minnesota, and we've got to at least keep our number one asset somewhat happy, and that's Karl Anthony Towns for your foreseeable future, like, we've got to make moves, and we've got to make moves fast. So my question to you is, how quickly do you think they get a deal done for him, and what's more advantageous, like letting this linger over the next few weeks, head into training camp, and head into maybe the first game of the season with Jimmy still on your team, or do you just have to dump him for basically whatever you can get?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say right now, because the big question to me is, okay, so Butler has given the Wolves a list of three teams that he would be open to being traded to, and then once there, signing a long-term max extension. Do the Timberwolves care? Because they could just trade Jimmy anywhere. They don't have to obey his wishes. If he's demanding a trade, they don't have to trade him to one of those teams. they could trade him to a team that will try to convince Jimmy that, okay, we're not the Clippers, we're not the Nets, we're not the Knicks, but hear us out. Come play with our young core for half a season or whatever it is, and hear our pitch to you in the summer of 2019. Now, that's a gamble on that team's part, just like it was a gamble for Tibbs to make the trade for Jimmy last summer and convince him that it was a good idea to stick around in Minneapolis, of all places. So some other team might take that same gamble, much like the Raptors gambled on Kawhi. And they think that they can pitch to him and convince him to stay when everybody's saying, oh, Kawhi's going to go play for one of the teams in L.A. That's where he wants to be. So some team might make a similar gamble for Jimmy Butler.
Can I throw another element of this at you real quick, just because you brought up Kawhi? How about the reports, too, now that the Lakers have become less enticing to Jimmy Butler because LeBron's there now? And now it's more so Jimmy wants his own team. Like, Jimmy's been saying that since he was in Chicago. And people believed it, but then they were like, well, if it comes down to playing with like somebody like LeBron and not having his own team, he's still got to do that if he actually wants to quote-unquote win. Like, winning's the most important to Jimmy, which clearly now it's not. It's about being his own team, being the number one superstar on a team. That, to me, and then now coupling that with the fact that maybe Kawhi is saying, maybe I'm not all that interested in going to play with the Lakers and playing in the shadow of LeBron. Maybe I don't want to do that either. Like, that to me is also fascinating, that the fact that LeBron going to the Lakers and now all of a sudden some of these superstars that are going to be free agents are saying, well, actually, you know what? I don't want to play in the shadow and be the basically the scapegoat if this doesn't work with LeBron here in LA. I don't want to do that. And it's crazy that Jimmy said that now, and even Kawhi, there's been some mentions about maybe the Toronto Raptors can convince Kawhi to stay. And then how about on top of all of that, Paul George deciding after 1 year in Oklahoma City that he's going to stay there for the foreseeable future. All of that kind of adds up.
Yeah, very good point. And just like, you're absolutely right about Jimmy wanting to be the guy, and that's why a lot of people talking about, oh, he's going to go team up with LeBron in L.A. No. I didn't buy that. As for the situation that Minnesota's in, it's a tricky one. And going back to your question of like, all right, well, like, how soon do they pull the trigger? Do they just take what they can get? I mean, it's a tough spot to be in. We'll see what teams show interest and actually put together legitimate offers for Jimmy as this season gets started. I mean, if to me, it's a no-brainer as far as, all right, well, you got to get rid of one of these guys. If it's Wiggins and Towns or it's Jimmy. And the funny thing is that, you know, Tibbs has spent time trying to accumulate all of his old guys to get that culture and that, you know, that system back to where he's comfortable with it, to have guys who will do the jobs that he wants them to do, with the additions of guys like Rose and Dang and Taj last year. To me, it's a no-brainer. Do you want a Jimmy Butler who's got a lot of miles on his legs, who just turned 29, or do you want to continue to try to build around Karl Anthony Towns, who is only just now about to turn 23? That's your answer right there. It's clear cut. It's simple. I don't know whether or not Tibbs is in the long-term future of this team as coach and or president of basketball ops, but the ownership group in Minnesota has to be pretty blatantly coming to the realization that, all right, well, if these guys can't get along, we swung and we kind of missed on Jimmy, and that stinks that we couldn't make it work. But Towns is a talent that we can still develop around. Wiggins' contract already looks like a mistake. We're going to eat a loss of some kind there. Maybe he can continue to improve. Maybe he takes a step this season if he gets more of the share of usage when they find a trade partner for Jimmy. But either way, they would be foolish to think that a 29-year-old Butler is more valuable to them than a 22-about-to-be-23-year-old Karl Anthony Towns.
That's what's crazy, too, is you just brought it up, his age. Like, Jimmy's kind of acting like he's a 24, 25-year-old superstar, just like, like just at the start of his prime. And I get it. Like, Jimmy Butler can still be a top 20, top 25 player in this league for the next 3 years. No doubt about that. But all the mileage on his legs and the fact that, you know, injuries could be more likely in, you know, going into your 30s. And how successful and how productive are guys after they turn 30 years old when they're a superstar? Like, outside of LeBron and maybe a few others, a lot of those guys deteriorate and deteriorate pretty quickly. the fact that one of these teams is going to probably pay Jimmy Butler, you know, once the salary cap goes up when he's 33, 34, at the back end of that contract is going to be north of $40 million a year. That's crazy.
And that's why I'm just baffled by the fact that there are some Bulls fans who still think that the Jimmy trade was a mistake. Whether, regardless of where you are on the spectrum of how much capacity for player development with the return pieces we got, regardless of where you are and how high you think the ceiling is for Markkanen, Dunn, and LaVine as individuals and as a trio that's the core of a roster, it doesn't matter. It is no longer acceptable to have the opinion that trading Jimmy was a mistake. Because, I'm sorry, just look at the facts and look at, like you were just saying, we're talking about a 29-year-old guy who has a lot of miles on his legs, some injury history, who I think we all can agree is not capable of being the best player on a championship contending team. And you want to pay that guy in the Bulls' position of having to pay Jimmy the DPE because he did meet those, you know, he met those qualifications. You're talking about the Bulls and Butler negotiating in the summer of 19 an extension, upwards of $200 million and a disgusting 33, 35, whatever it is, percentage of the team's total salary cap for seasons in which he is somewhere between the ages of 30 and 35. Who still thinks that that's where the Bulls should still be right now? Because I'm sorry, if you still have that opinion, I think you're nuts.
Can I just say, too, that the Bulls kind of saw this, as far as Jimmy's personality, saw this kind of coming. It was on the horizon. You know, the last 2 years of his career here in Chicago, which were great on the floor, don't get me wrong. He was by far the best player the Bulls had over those 2 years. But the fact that you combine it with paying him that gross amount of money, and you were only getting good enough to an eighth seed in the playoffs, you just squeaked into the playoffs in that last year, the fact that you did that, but you also saw the personality on the rise. Like, people didn't really want to believe the fact that Jimmy was turning into this Hollywood guy, and that he kind of split that locker room. He didn't kind of split that locker room. He did. Him and Dwayne Wade in that final year. Like, as Bulls fans who wanted this rebuild to happen and were okay with the Bulls trading Jimmy away, saw this on the horizon. And can you imagine if the Bulls were in this situation right now? Like, they didn't sign him to an extension, but just kept him. And he was in a situation where he's like, I don't want to play in Chicago anymore. I want to go into one of these scenarios. And how he could have fractured that locker room, too, even worse than it was. So, like you said, I think it's funny in the fact that it's kind of true. You can't have the opinion that trading Jimmy Butler was a mistake, because where the Bulls were going and what he was going to get offered as far as money and the contract situation, like, it would be laughable if the Bulls would have paid him that money.
Yeah. Another name that I think of, too, when we're talking about giving, you know, older players these insane contracts, is Chris Paul. And the extension that he signed to stay in Houston this offseason. And I still think that the Rockets giving Chris Paul that much money is absurd at age 33. I mean, that contract to me is like, oh my God, really? You're going to pay a 33-year-old Chris Paul that much money? But here's the difference, though. When we're talking about what teams out there might want to be committing a huge max-level deal to Jimmy Butler for the back end and exit of his prime. And to me, the difference is this. Even though Chris Paul is like 4 years older than Jimmy, I think Chris Paul's 33. If the Rockets get at least one or two more good seasons out of Chris Paul in the front end of that contract, and that somehow leads to the Rockets winning a championship, I'm not saying I think that's likely. I'm just saying it is within the realm of possibility. Let's recall that the Warriors were down 3-2 to Houston. And, you know, Chris Paul had to sit out the back end of that series. We could be having a very different conversation right now. And we could be saying defending champion, NBA champion, Houston Rockets. Like, that is a thing that could have happened. So even though the CP3 contract is also in its own right ridiculous to me, in a similar fashion that I think a team signing a max level deal for Jimmy is ridiculous, I don't know if there are any teams out there that adding Jimmy makes them a championship team. Whereas keeping CP3 might at least get Houston back to the conference finals and maybe get them another shot at beating Golden State and probably having, if not an advantage, at least a fair fight in whichever team comes out of the East in the finals. that would make that CP3 contract worth it, because you're giving the Rockets a title for the first time since 1995. But with Jimmy, I'm sorry, I just like, which, and especially the teams we're talking about, Clippers, Brooklyn, Knicks, are any of those teams suddenly going to become championship contenders and say, well, yeah, it was a really expensive bill to pay Jimmy Butler that contract, but hey, at least it's worth it because we got a ring out of it. That is a situation that can happen with CP3. I don't see any immediately plausible scenarios where the same is true for Jimmy.
Well, it goes back now to that conversation. Like, a lot of people said, well, Jimmy just wants to win. Jimmy just wants to win. You know, Jim, winning is the most important to Jimmy. That's not true anymore, considering the teams that he wants to go to. Going to the Knicks, going to the Nets, going to the Clippers, you're not winning in any of those places. And I think those franchises understand that. Like, to them, it's bringing in a superstar and getting popular again. Like, for the Clippers, signing Jimmy Butler to a max deal or getting him in a trade probably be top five, top 10 moments in Clippers history. Looking at the Knicks, I think that to me was if you let Jimmy Butler play out the season with the Timberwolves, if Tom Thibodeau doesn't trade him for whatever crazy reason, like, the Knicks to me would be the most appealing spot of all three of those places. If you're trying to win, you know, Kyrie Irving joins you with Kristaps Porzingis and Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina, like, that team might be pretty dominant. And I don't know if that gets you good enough to get to an NBA Finals, but out of the three teams that Jimmy's said that he wants to go to, that's probably your best spot. But now it sounds like Jimmy Butler wants to go to the Clippers, so he cares more about being on the West Coast. He wants to live in L.A. He likes L.A.
Yeah.
And he feels like with two max contracts, he can maybe bring in either Kyrie or Kawhi in the offseason if he does, in fact, get traded there.
And, you know, as a fan of the NBA, I would love it if Jimmy somehow, you know, finagles his way to Los Angeles, signs a deal with the Clippers, and they have, you know, the max money space, which they do, to sign an additional player, and maybe it's Kyrie. Jimmy and Kyrie go team up with the Clippers. Maybe they bring in another, like, second-tier star, and we have Clippers versus Lakers playoff series for, you know, a handful of years, where it's, you know, Jimmy, who said, nah, to hell with playing with LeBron. I want to be the guy on my own team. And his pal Kyrie, who said, I'm done being LeBron's second fiddle. I want to be the guy on my team, teaming up and trying to beat LeBron's Lakers. Like, that would be amazing entertainment value for NBA fans everywhere. Do I think that Jimmy and Kyrie together could beat a LeBron team that has at least decent talent surrounding him? No. Look, at some point the end is coming for LeBron. We keep saying that, but I'm sorry. The guy just had one of the most statistically impressive seasons of his career, and he's just getting older and better somehow. So until we actually start to see physical evidence and statistical evidence of LeBron exiting his prime, take the Joe Average surrounding supporting cast of an NBA roster and LeBron James, and I will pick that team over Jimmy Butler and Kyrie. Every single time.
I think so too. I think I have to agree with you there. Until LeBron shows us that he is falling off the cliff, like, I can't continue to say every single year, oh, this is the year LeBron's going to fall off. Like, until that happens, we physically see that.
And that's, like, as you were saying, that's how we know that Jimmy's all I want to do is win a title stuff is BS. And look, it's not like he's the only NBA player guilty of saying such things. Like, Melo did that and then re-signed to stay on an ugly Knicks team that couldn't afford to pay anyone else, and they were trash. And Melo said, yeah, I stayed in New York. I want to start what I want to finish what I started. I want to win. Bull. That's baloney. Look, if Jimmy wanted to win a title, he knows that his best option is going to Los Angeles to play for the Lakers with LeBron James. That's his best shot at a title. That's any NBA player's best shot at a title. You want to win a ring? Oh, go play on the team that LeBron plays for. And that is immediately your best shot at a title. Outside of, I'm going to sign a one-year deal with the Golden State Warriors for as long as they're around. Those are the two best paths to an NBA title right now. And Jimmy's thing about wanting to win a title and passing up the opportunity to play with LeBron, to play for the other team in Los Angeles, makes that statement a joke.
Yep. And a lot of other, like, it's kind of crazy. A lot of other free agents or potential free agents in 2019 are talking in the same light. Like, yeah, I don't want to be the guy that's the scapegoat if things go wrong here. I don't want to be the guy that has to play in LeBron's shadow, be second fiddle to LeBron. Like, a lot of these guys want to be their own superstar or be on a team that has to battle against LeBron. And that's crazy to me. Like, I didn't realize that there was starting to be a shift in where guys are like, nah, I'd rather not. I'd rather go to another team and pair up with another young superstar and battle it out that way, and I can be the number one, such as Kawhi, such as maybe Paul George. Paul George is kind of playing second fiddle to Russ, but it's a little different with when you talk about LeBron. And Jimmy doing in the same fashion. Like, I'd rather go to the Clippers, Nets, or Knicks. Like, to me, if Jimmy really wanted to win, he'd go to the Knicks. And it would make clear sense if that's what he wants to do. And it's clear it's not. He wants to go to L.A., live in L.A., get paid a ton of money, and just be the superstar there. And wherever the chips may fall, that's where they go. And he's not really interested in winning a ring. Two other things before we get out of here, Matt, that I want to talk about, just considering Jimmy Butler, all of this turmoil going down in Minnesota. One, let's start with the trade. 15 months ago, trading Jimmy Butler. For the fans that we were talking about earlier that maybe hated the trade, said that Jimmy Butler should have never gotten traded, should have got re-signed for max money. Can you look at this trade now, 15 months later, and say, okay, the Bulls definitely won it now? Or is it kind of two different circumstances where maybe we had an idea that Jimmy Butler might have stayed in Minnesota back 15 months ago? Or can you now say, okay, yes, we won the trade, because it's only happened a year ago? Or are they two different situations?
I think it's kind of hard to judge winning the trade as far as talent sent away versus talent received. But that goes back to what I said earlier, which is it doesn't matter as a Bulls fan what you think the ceilings are for Dunn, LaVine, and Markkanen. They couldn't win a title. They couldn't contend for a title with Jimmy as their best player. That is a fact. So they recognize that, recognize they also had a disgusting decision looming about Jimmy being re-signed to the DPE max, super max level contract, and how that would hamstring the organization financially, and said, look, we're going to take the best offer we can get, and we're going to deal this guy now so we don't have to face that financial decision a year from now. He's become a problem in the locker room. He is clearly a guy whose ego is starting to become a problem. And he is going to be, if we were to keep and re-sign him, a guy who would be paying a huge portion of our overall salary cap in the back end of his prime. To me, you can make that decision without even mentioning the names Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, and Zach LaVine. That is the decision that had to be made, and they made the correct decision. Oh, here's Matt, Garpax defender on Locked On Bulls. Nah, shut up. It was the right call. Now, as for the pieces, and did they win the trade or did they lose the trade? Making the trade at all, in my opinion, means that they won the trade because Jimmy had to go. We all know how you and I feel about Markkanen and that he is the prize of that trade. We're still figuring out what exactly Chris Dunn can become and what exactly Zach LaVine will look like in his first healthy full season with the Bulls after recovering from that ACL, and if he can be a dominant offensive player in this league. We're still waiting on those returns, but even still, waiting on returns for those guys and seeing the first-team all-rookie performance we saw from Markkanen last season, I am 110% confident in saying, yes, the Bulls won that trade. Look at the mess the T-Wolves are in, and look where the Bulls are. Whether or not you think this is actually a core that will start to contend for titles somewhere in 4 or 5 years, at least it's something. And it's something that isn't the giant headache that was the whole Jimmy Butler saga.
To me, too, we said it on post-draft night last season. We said that, like, immediately we both liked the trade, regardless of what the talent you were getting back with. And, you know, there's a lot of question marks around Zach LaVine, around Chris Dunn, and around Lauri Markkanen, even before they stepped foot on the court again. But we said ultimately, like you just mentioned, that regardless, trading Jimmy Butler and getting anything for him was a win. That was a win because they didn't want to pay him. And I think we made the point, too, even early on in the season last year, in maybe between December and January, we said, like, looking at the three pieces that you have, even though Jimmy Butler's making an impact in Minnesota, him being injured there and what the Bulls got, they had to have won the trade. And it's the same thing that I look at, like, the Paul George trade, too. Like, both of those teams won for what they wanted to get. One team wanted to take a chance on Paul George. They won. The other team, the Pacers, knew that he wasn't going to stay in Indianapolis and they weren't going to keep him. So they got Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis back. and they won the trade. I feel like going back to draft night, both teams won. Like, the Bulls got what they wanted in return, and Minnesota got what they wanted to take a chance on Butler.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota, to their credit, ended their 14-year playoff drought. And a lot of that had to do with Jimmy Butler being Jimmy Butler. And yeah, he got hurt in somewhere in the mid to late stage of that season and missed a chunk of games, and they ended up being the eighth seed and barely squeaking in, as opposed to earlier in the season when they were playing as like the fourth seed. I think they were maybe even the three seed for a while there. So that was the third team All-NBA caliber player that we have come to know as Jimmy Buckets. And he ended that team's 14-year playoff streak. He did that. That's what they wanted. Wolves wanted contention now, competition now. It's, you know, sucks for them that they're in a very difficult Western Conference, and the best they could do was a 5-game one and done series against the number one seed Houston Rockets. Like, but they still got what they wanted. They got a in his prime star to add to their young core, and they got back to the playoffs. So it's one of those, well, you can say both teams won the trade. Fine. Like, you know, I care about the Minnesota Timberwolves far less than I care about our Chicago Bulls. From the Bulls fans' perspective, it has gotten impossible to make the argument that the Bulls lost that trade.
I completely agree with you. How about Tom Thibodeau? What if he ships Jimmy's ass to, like, Atlanta for a season, or to, like, somewhere like Miami, which actually wouldn't be bad for Jimmy. Jimmy likes playing Miami with D-Wade for one more year. Contend maybe a little bit. You could be your own guy.
I've heard that Miami is like that, like, secret, maybe they might be involved team in some of these rumors and reports going around. And, you know, Miami has its own, you know, spotlight, flashy, you know, big city, Hollywood kind of vibe that LA and New York have.
Yeah, and he loves D-Wade, so maybe that could be a destination. But I think it would be hilarious if Tom Thibodeau was just going to say, okay, I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory. I'm going to go out through the fire and flames. I'm going to trade Jimmy to one of these prior tanking teams for a season, pretend like I'm going to stay, coach maybe the first month, and just resign. Like, he already had said, like, he doesn't want to rebuild with Minnesota. How petty do you think he could get, like, ruining not only the Timberwolves, but ruining Jimmy Butler at least for a year, saying, you know what, you can go, since you don't want to play with me, you don't trust me as a coach, and you want out of here, fine, go play in Dallas. Fine, go play in Orlando. Fine, go play in Phoenix.
Would love that. Oh, my God, would love that. Would love that pettiness from Tibbs. Real quick, while we're talking about, you know, Bulls, Wolves, who won the trade, we got to, for a quick second, talk about the TBT picture that Markkanen threw up on his Twitter page yesterday or the day before from draft night, where he's wearing the Wolves hat and the big Timberwolves logos in the background. Do we think that as all of this Timberwolves drama was unfolding, that Markkanen knowingly did that as throwing shade? Or do you think that that was just a coincidence of timing?
No, he 100% threw shade.
You think so? Because Markkanen's such a soft-spoken kid, he doesn't strike you as the type who would have that thought of like, this is super shady and super mean, but I'm totally gonna do this anyway because screw it, why not?
Believe me, Markkanen's played here now for a year. He spent a few years here in the United States and paying attention close to the NBA. He knows what Tibbs does to rookies. He knows the situation, what's going on in Minnesota, and whether it's for better or for worse, the stories that he's probably heard about all of those guys that were here in Chicago before, Jimmy and also Tom, like, he's got to know. He's like, okay, if I would have went to Minnesota, things could, for my career at least, things could be looking a hell of a lot different than they are right now in Chicago. So I'm sure this is a little bit of pettiness, a little bit of shade. I think it's more just thankfulness that he's not a Timberwolves.
And the flip side of that is Timberwolves fans on Twitter over the last few days saying, like, and this is something that Bulls fans have also brought up, now, especially now that Jimmy's demanding out. And it looks like they're only, you know, going to get Butler for 2 years at max and probably not make any kind of real playoff push because of it. If they were to undo that trade, you're looking at a Timberwolves core of Dunn, LaVine backcourt, which, you know, LaVine has his defensive weaknesses, whatever, whatever. But Dunn, LaVine, Wiggins at the three, Markkanen at the four, Towns at the five. And my goodness, how sweet might that be? if they were to undo that trade and the Wolves took Markkanen at 7 as opposed to Patton at 16, what would that future look like in Minnesota? And what might that young core be able to
accomplish? I love the Timberwolves fans doing this now. It's like, yeah, you were the same ones 15 months ago telling us all the reasons why Zach LaVine sucks, why Chris Dunn sucks, why taking Lauri Markkanen at 7 was laughable. Like, to do this now, just a year later, and saying, oh, we got Jimmy, like, you guys pushed him out of town, all of this crap that they gave Bulls fans and said that they got completely fleeced. Oh, now a year later, because Chris Dunn actually looks like a decent point guard, Lauri Markkanen looks like a future stud, and Zach LaVine, for the limited amount of time that we saw him coming back fully healthy from the ACL, can maybe mirror the image of what he did with the Timberwolves a couple years ago. Like, now all of a sudden you guys want those guys back, and you want to play devil's advocate and say, oh, if we never made the trade now for Jimmy. It's so hindsight by Timberwolves fans. It's kind of funny. But the shade that I'm throwing at is more to the Timberwolves fans that said the Bulls got fleeced on draft night. Like, to them, now it's 15 months later, and look at the superstar wants out of Minneapolis, and the two guys that look like are going to stay long-term, Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns, aren't exactly happy either.
And like, what would you rather have, Bulls fans? Would you rather have a diva, prima donna, about to be 30 years old Jimmy Butler going in and demanding a supermax contract and creating all sorts of problems in the locker room? Or would you rather have Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, and you have to include Wendell Carter Jr.? Would you rather have that, or would you rather have Jimmy Butler and Justin Patton?
It's a good question.
To me, the choice is clear.
It would have been Jimmy Butler, Nico Mirotic, Dwayne Wade, and Justin Patton as your lineup for last year. And then this year would probably be about similar. They would have kept Nico around. It would have been Jimmy. And then after that, I don't know, I throw my hands up at that point. So that's what your team would be looking at.
Yeah, and guess what? This season would have been, well, I don't know, sign one more like Dwayne Wade retirement rodeo show. You want that?
Yeah, it would have been like bringing him back for less money. I don't. Maybe trying to pick up some veterans that you could plug and play, like Trevor Ariza and those guys.
Maybe even if Wade finished out the back end of his two-year deal with the Bulls, he would still have decided to go back to Miami for one final year. I wouldn't have been surprised by that. But my goodness, could you imagine if he decided to, after playing out his full two-year contract with the Bulls, to sign one more year to play and to do that in Chicago? I would be just sick if I had to watch a Dwayne Wade retirement party that lasted an 82-game season. I would hate my life as a Bulls fan if we had to go through
that. I would
have
been super happy if it turned out that Jimmy stayed, convinced the front office to go and trade for Kyrie. Then we're talking about a different scenario, which could have happened, but the Bulls said like immediately that they didn't think Jimmy was the guy to surround themselves around. They weren't even going to entertain, and they didn't have the assets to trade for him either. But if that happened, that would have been a scenario where I would have been happy. Everything else would have been just like, no thanks. But I want to finish this and close our episode with this. Is like, this isn't a backhanded Jimmy Butler. This isn't a show where we're bashing Jimmy Butler, which it kind of sounds like that, but it's not at all. It's just the reality of the situation.
Well, it is a little bit. It's a little bit.
I just want to say, though, that for what Butler did on the floor for the majority of the years that he was here with the Bulls, I loved him. I loved him as a player, and maybe he kind of grew out of himself of what we originally knew who he was. And those last couple of years were the changing and the evolution of Jimmy Butler for the better or for the worse. All I got to say, though, is I'm glad we made the deal when we did. And I'm glad we're in this position and not in the position, maybe look what the Timberwolves are looking at right now. And like I said before, like, Karl-Anthony Towns isn't even guaranteed that he's happy, even if Jimmy Butler leaves. Same thing with Andrew Wiggins. Like, those two guys that are supposed to be your core in Minnesota don't exactly seem like the happiest of campers right now. And shout out to Andrew Wiggins getting into a fight with Steven Jackson on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, and Wiggins was like, what did you average, like six and a half points per game? And then Steven Jackson took a screenshot and tweeted, it was like, career average was actually like above 15 points per game.
This how the conversation should have went with Andrew Wiggins and his brother when Andrew found out his brother sent out that tweet about hallelujah and all that, right? I'm Andrew Wiggins. Say, big bro, I don't think you should have sent that tweet out. Why you say that? Shit, because, you know, Jimmy Butler, man, he played with a lot of heart. He played hard. He played with a lot of heart. and I ain't got no heart. Now, you want to get on social media and talk about Jimmy? We lose him. Our team ain't got no heart. Now, if you gonna take me to the Wizard and help me find a yellow brick road to give me a heart, then cool. You can talk about Jimmy all you want. Because you know I ain't got no heart. So, shit, you going to take that back or tell me find a yellow brick road and take me to the Wizard, man? Because, shit, I ain't got no heart at all. That's why Cleveland traded me. No bullshit. You ain't got no heart. And your brother, you ain't going to play basketball. Why you worry about that, bro? But like he said, keep that same energy. You got a lot of talent, kid. You got a lot of talent. And I hope you have a good year. I hope somewhere you can find some heart and find some passion for the game and have a good year. I really wish you the best. Oh, I'm 40. Thank God I'm happy to see 40. Bum, I never been that. You know that. I'm from the old school, bro. I'm cut under the old law. You know what I'm saying? Respect it or check it. All that, I'm going to have that same energy wherever I go, all that. Say, man, make sure your energy straight when you see me, bro. All right? I'm pretty sure you know who I am. Make sure your energy straight. Just focus on finding some heart and having a good year. I wish you the best. You got a lot of talent. Just find that. Please don't try to do that with me, bro. You know what I'm saying? Just keep that same energy. I'll catch you in traffic. 100.
I love it when young guns in the NBA go at retired NBA players who throw all sorts of trash talk at today's NBA youth and, you know, you don't know how easy you have it. You know, these, you know, the new CBAs that have come forth and all these insane contracts and all this money you guys are making and it's a much softer league. And then the young guys are saying, ah, you're just an old washed up crowd. I love that. It is great content for the sport with the best social media presence. And I was just laughing my ass off the whole time reading that exchange between Jackson and Wiggins.
That's for sure. Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Hit us up, 331-979-1369. You got any reaction to what's going on in Minnesota? You want to drop us a voicemail, a text message with your thoughts? We'd love to hear from you, 331-979-1369. You can hit us up on social media, too, on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. You can tweet at us. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow to drive you into the weekend. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com